Well, let's pray, and then we're going to open God's Word. Our Father in Heaven, thank you so much for your Word, and we pray that it would be instructive today to us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, and we pray that you would just work in our lives so that we avail ourselves of your grace and are able to deal with Satan's attacks toward us, and that we would be a church family and families that understand your word and the practical implications to it, to us about it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's see, what's the deal here? There we go. Well, it was Thanksgiving dinner at church, a Saturday night. Everything was close to being ready in the fellowship hall. Tables were nicely decorated, the food was set out to be served, and Elizabeth only needed 2 minutes in the kitchen to warm the bottle in the microwave so she could feed her hungry 5-month-old daughter before the dinner began. The two queens of the kitchen followed their time-honored custom of locking the kitchen doors before the meal, and they may as well have nailed "no admittance, forbidden area" on the doors. "But I only want to warm her bottle," pleaded Elizabeth. One of the ladies said, "No, you can't come in, but I'll do it for you." Well, you know, moms know the temperature of the milk that they want for the baby, so Elizabeth said, "I'd rather do it." The door stayed locked. The baby was crying. Now, really now, this wasn't a nuclear site or a blank bank vault, was it? It was a kitchen. In a last-ditch effort to gain entrance to the locked kitchen, Elizabeth said, "I'll get my husband, one of the pastors, and he'll come and unlock the door." "Oh, well, that's different. We'll unlock the door for you." You know, one of those cases, huh? If you were a friend of the young mom trying to warm the baby's bottle and you heard about this incident, it would be easy to pick up an offense for her and be resentful toward the queens of the kitchen. Maybe you'd avoid them, or the next potluck that comes along, throw a handful of salt in their famous soup and kind of get even. You know, there's a lot of ways of doing stuff, isn't there? I hadn't thought of that. Don't do that here. Now, flip it around. If you were friends with the queens of the kitchen, maybe you would say to yourself, "Well, after all, they were in charge. Things need to be clean and safe, and can't be a lot of commotion in the kitchen before such a big meal as the harvest dinner, and can't moms feed their babies before they come?" And you've got, what, justified resentment on both sides, at least according to them. Right? Interesting. And names have been changed to the true story to protect the innocent and the guilty. To a church in Texas that split so badly that both sides eventually ended up in the state Supreme Court to decide who had legal ownership of the properties. The Texas Supreme Court refused to rule in the case and sent it back down to the denomination for their jurisdiction and decision. An intensive investigation was launched to reveal the original cause of the conflict, and it was discovered that one man had a larger slice of ham than another at a church potluck. Now we laugh. That's because we weren't involved. It's amazing how problems can come up. Now let's take an educated guess as to what happened in that church. A man told his friend how he was slighted in the serving of ham. And maybe he added his opinion about the server and maybe some of the other people at the dinner. And relations cooled off, and more people came on board resenting the server and his relatives and anybody else that was related to him. And from that point on, every word, every action were seen through distorted lenses. "He or she didn't or did that to me because of," and whatever you could fill in the blank. "And I know what their motives are." Boy, I'm glad to hear that if God died, there's somebody else out there with some omniscience. Or maybe they said, "If you're my friend, you'd be sympathetic to my side and pick up an offense for their friends." And that's the subject we want to talk about this morning, is picking up an offense What does that mean? It means joining in to someone else's personal conflict with a bad attitude, with words and behavior that can make the conflict worse. You ever done that?
Yep.
Yeah, thanks, Fred. I was going to put my hand up first, but since you beat me to it. Boy, how often have I taken the bait? Secondhand trouble is what I call that, because we actually jump in on somebody else's problem with a bad attitude. Well, let's turn to Proverbs 26:17. Because that's our verse, and Daniel and I have been in a series on Proverbs for a while, and it looks at the way we're headed, we're going to be in here for quite a while longer. But that's okay, there's a lot to say in the book of Proverbs, and this is very practical this morning. As I've read this many times, it always struck me, and this is actually probably the best translation of this verse, and I'll share with you the reason why in just a minute. But let's look at it together. It says, "The one who grabs a wild dog by the ears is like a person who becomes furious over a quarrel between other people." And that's picking up an offense. I grew up, obviously, a long time ago, but many of you as well remember Lyndon Johnson, who had a couple of beagles. And what did he do with those beagles? Grabbed them by the ears. And he waggled them around, and he said, "You know, I'm just doing this. It doesn't bother the beagles, and they just need a good bark once in a while." And, of course, all the animal rights people were really upset with him for doing that. But be that as it may, that's not this verse. This verse is talking about something far different than a pet. So let's take a look. Let's make some observations about what this verse is really all about. First of all, it's in a context of comparisons. If you went back all the way to into chapter 25, Solomon uses the word "like" between chapter 25 and 26, 21 times. So we're looking at a context of comparisons all the way through these two chapters. He's not using the teenage version of "like" either, okay? You know what I'm talking about there. Like, "Boy, dude, this is it." You know, he's not saying, you know, not that. Okay? I can't even do it right, can I? Like, "He's pretty lame." These were wild dogs, not pets. These were street dogs. You know, we don't see packs of dogs running around our country, our neighborhoods, do we? Not normally. I've seen it in Bolivia, seen it in Ukraine, saw it in Ghana. If you've been any place outside the United States, you've probably seen the packs of dogs. They are not friendly. You don't want to be near them. And this is what he's talking about. He's also saying that you're likely to get hurt. You grab a wild dog by the ears, one of these street dogs, especially if they're fighting with each other, you're going to get hurt. This is not a good idea to be involved in this issue. And many of your Bibles read "metal," don't they? Somebody comes along and, like, one grabbing a dog by the ears is somebody who meddles in somebody else's affair. Actually, the word is much more intensive, and it really means to become angry, to become furious. You get cranked up over somebody else's issue, a problem that's not yours, and you get into the fight. In fact, I can turn the page here. This is what it means. The image is this: that you don't intervene on bringing peace, but you intervene with the same wrath as the participants. Someone sees a dog fight and he gets down on all fours and begins snarling and biting along with them. That's the picture. Don't we get in those kinds of conflicts sometimes? We do. We borrow trouble, secondhand trouble. And here's the caution. You know, a lot of our indignation or anger is vicarious. We get worked up over a lot of other people's things. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, so don't do it. I'm going to raise my hand, though. I listen to talk radio sometimes. In fact, probably a lot. You know, I have to shut it off, too, because I just can't handle it. My blood pressure is not all that stable, you know, when some of these issues come up. I don't need that kind of stress. Well, you can do it with TV, with movies, you know, with stuff going on politically. We borrow all this stuff, we bring it into our lives, and we get cranked up over it emotionally. And Solomon is saying, be warned. That's like grabbing a wild dog by the ears. You're going to get hurt. The proverb is not warning us against intervening, but intervening angrily into an angry situation that only increases the problem. That's really what it's about. So don't enter into an angry situation with an angry attitude or actions, is what this verse is talking about. Here's Galatians 5, 14 and 15. The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. Wow, how practical is that in the book of Galatians that Paul wrote for us? So here's the picture. Somebody joins the conflict with an angry attitude and behavior, and the more dogs, the bigger the fight. And Solomon says to us, you're going to get hurt. How bad can it get? Well, in the spring of 1894, the Baltimore Orioles went to Boston to play the Red Sox in what was expected to be a routine game. The Orioles' John McGraw got into a fight with Boston's third baseman. And you know how baseball fights are, what happens? Both dugouts empty and everybody now is involved. Well, the conflict went into the grandstands. And somebody lit a fire and burned the grandstands down. Or that's what happened eventually. And it caught on to 107 other Boston buildings. Wow. People got cranked up over some stuff and a ton of damage done. Now, stop and think about that in terms of relationships. You know, somebody gets involved in something that doesn't belong to them, how quickly does it spread to other people? How quickly do we pick up the side that we want to be on? You know, this is one of the ugly twins or the mean twins that can destroy families and churches and workplaces. Gossip is one. This is the other one, is picking up an offense and taking sides. We don't want to be a dysfunctional family. We don't want to be a dysfunctional church. And that's why we're taking the warning of what Solomon is talking about here today. We can be positively involved in conflicts. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called sons of God. There is a time and a place to be involved in people's conflicts. Can we legitimately help somebody? Philippians chapter 4 is a very interesting passage. I'm going to turn there. You can head there as well. Philippians 4. Paul is writing to the church of Philippi and actually names two women there. He says, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche, some pronounce it soon touchy, to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true comrade or friend, I ask you to help these women who shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Paul said, these women are having a problem, dear friend. He doesn't name the friend who wants him to help, get involved in helping. But he says, dear friend, help these ladies. They've been valuable to me in the cause of the gospel. We don't want to have things unravel on the relationship. They need some intervention and peacemaking. And then we have Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17. It says, if somebody sins against you, go talk to them. Do it privately. If they don't listen to you, take a couple along with you. A few people to help you. You know, that is so important because of the objectivity and neutrality of a couple other people. We're not talking about people who are taking your side. We're talking about people who can help you sort things out and have that objectivity and neutrality in the situation. You know, as soon as we get in a conflict, we lose objectivity. We lose neutrality. This happens all the time in relationships, is that the first thing to go is our objectivity. How do we know if we've... Oh, look at that. How do we know if we've picked up an offense for somebody? Well, let me give you four clues. I've probably picked up an offense for somebody if I've reacted to limited information. I only heard one side of the story. I'm reacting to limited information. Boy, I feel like a fool for how many times I've done that. How about you? It happens, doesn't it? We react on limited information. And when we hear the other side, if we ever do, we say, oh, that does change things, doesn't it? We know a little bit more now than we did before. If I'm going on this track of limited information, I'm basically saying I'm not interested in knowing the facts, to understand what's going on. My mind is firmly made up and I'm on so-and-so's side. That's what we're really saying. The second thing is that if I have picked up an offense on for someone, I'm usually stoking the fires of anger and bitterness and ill will, not only in myself, but also probably in somebody else because of my criticism verbally and in my gossip towards somebody. I'm usually repeating the facts to somebody else and trying to gain support on behalf of somebody else. So we stoke the fires of anger, bitterness, and ill will. I also allow relationships on the other side to cool and to unravel. Stop and think, and you know, one of the most famous feuds in America was the Hatfield and McCoys, right? And back and forth they went, retaliating and retaliating and retaliating. You know, you hear about that in tribal situations, and here we've got our own tribes right in our own country, you know, historically. But we do that with one another. We allow relationships unnecessarily to unravel with people on the other side of the issue. A lot of times things aren't necessarily between me and somebody else or the peripheral. It's usually a one-on-one situation where the offense has occurred, and yet we unravel relationships along the way. When we take up an offense for somebody, it kind of makes us isolationists. I'm not friends with so-and-so, you are, I don't want to have you by me, that type of thing. Relatives, school, work, church, doesn't make any difference where it is. We wind up having that situation. And also grace evaporates in my life. What do I mean by that? James 4:7 says, God gives grace to the humble. He's opposed to the proud. If I am picking up an offense for someone, I'm generally ignoring the love and truth factors, the grace factors, and I am proud in my own spirit and concentrating on myself and my feelings in the matter. And a lot of things get ignored when you're picking up an offense. So when we stop and think about what's going on, a quick review, taking up an offense is becoming angry at someone on behalf of somebody else. Now, there's a lot more to be said about this, and I'm not finished the sermon, okay? I'm going to give you some illustrations here, but this is part of a much larger picture of how we relate to each other. What we haven't talked about this morning is one of the things that Adam brought up. We hear about other people in other countries being treated unjustly. Is that picking up an offense by hearing about that and getting worked up over that? Well, no. There's a point at which we need to be moved for the social injustices of taking place. So we're not talking about that situation. So there are other situations that kind of fit in here that is not picking up an offense. There are times when as parents or as husbands and wives, we need to step in between somebody. And I'll hopefully get on to another sermon about this another time to give you those types of illustrations. I just want you to realize this is only part of the package. Now, let's talk about some examples. Give you some different situations. Here's the stick figures, and Pastor Paul is one of them, okay? This is the actual situation. Person B says to person C, I'm never coming back to Grace Bible Church again because Pastor Paul told my friend, that would be person A, who's not in the picture at all, he can't get married again. Person C says, that's terrible of Pastor Paul. That's just mean. I don't like him either. Maybe I won't go back to Grace Bible Church too. Okay. person B picked up an offense for person A and is now spreading it to person C to hope that person picks up an offense as well. You see that scenario? Okay. That's what we're talking about. It's a very natural response to feel hurt over something done to us, and sometimes we feel hurt over things that are done to other people as well. We feel bad for them. After all, God says, love your neighbor as yourself. We want to be sympathetic. We want to be empathetic. We want to be encouraging. But the wrong thing to do is to be angry on somebody else's behalf and get involved by picking that dog up by the ears. Okay? Now, suppose the response had been of person A to person, or I mean person B to person A and said, well, let's go back to talk to Pastor Paul. If they came back and talked to me, I would say, wait a minute. I don't tell people they can't get married a second time. Personally, my conviction is I don't marry people the second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time, sixth time. I don't do second marriages or beyond. That's just my personal conviction. But I don't tell people they can't get married. I might not agree that it's a good idea, but that's different than telling them they can't get married. In fact, if you know me at all and the track record that I've had here at Grace or any place else, I've helped quite a few people that I disagree with what they're doing. Okay? So, that would be the real answer. But see, person B and C don't know that. And I'm powerless to correct that because nobody comes and talks to me about that. Right? Yeah. And you get put in the same spot by picking up an offense because sometimes you're out of the picture by the time persons A and B get things straightened out and you're person C and you don't know that it ever got straightened out, so you're still carrying the baggage. Good idea. That's real healthy. How much baggage do you carry for you? How much baggage do you carry for people? Okay, you get the idea. Different situation. Back in 1986, I was asked to resign from Grace Bible Church in Oconomowoc. Hopefully that doesn't bother you too much. I didn't do anything wrong. It was a very odd situation. We had a couple of our elders, one in particular, that felt my leadership style wasn't what they really wanted anymore and said, we'd like you to resign. That was a real blow to me, even more so to Marcia because her husband was criticized. It was very difficult at that particular time in our lives. Let's see. What's that say? You know, we were, obviously, Marcia was hurt and angry because of the criticism leveled to me. I was stunned at the beginning. I realized that I needed to help the guys on the church board because they needed some help with preparing for another pastor. There was nothing in our constitution that even provided for a pulpit search or a pastoral search committee. And obviously the way I handled it and the way Marcia handled it were a little different. As a guy, you know, God gave me the grace to do what I needed to do. As Marcia, as my wife, it was such a difficult situation for her because she to go to talk to. And to her credit, she didn't become like the one that grabbed the dog by the ears and get involved in an angry way. The sad thing was, it was like swallowing a grenade. You know, for her, it was so difficult because she had to internalize it all. The only person that she could talk to her credit, was me. And that's where the next thing comes in. You know, the collateral damage when we get involved in situations or when somebody's criticized unjustly, you wind up with this collateral damage, and it's very easy to slide over and become angry at the person that did it and hurt for a long time. You could imagine that. God gives us each the grace to deal with what we need to deal with. Me to deal with the guys that I worked with for a long time and to be able to carry them on to the end. Marcia to deal with what she had to deal with, but she realized in the course of all of this that she didn't have the grace to deal with what I needed to deal with. She only had the grace to deal with what she needed to deal with. God gives us the grace for our slice of the pie, our slice of the burden of hurt. When we pick up an offense, we don't get the grace that the person that's in the primary position of hurt gets. God does give us grace if we're part of the collateral damage. But the issue of forgiveness is often directed to the primary people involved, not the secondary people. And that's where it gets really awkward. How does the secondary person who picks up the offense forgive the person who did the hurting if they're not directly involved? You see, there's where you're carrying some baggage that it's really hard to figure out what to do with. So that's that story. God got us through it, moved us on, and as we look back, many blessings after that, but that was a very difficult experience for us to go through. To this day, it still puzzles me, to be honest with you, exactly what was going on in the thinking of the guys. Well, the little bit that I know, and I'll share this with you. You've heard me say that I think the church is very much like a mobile field hospital in Christianity, that we take the wounded and patch them up and heal them and get them better and let them fight another day. The elder that was so critical of me was critical about the fact that we weren't attracting leadership quality people to our church. I kind of shrugged my shoulders and said, but don't we take who God sends us? The answer is yeah. And if God's not sending us leadership caliber people, we take who God gives us, we patch them up, and we keep them going. That wasn't acceptable. And that's why I resigned. So that's the long and short of it as far as I know. Remember, you've only heard one side of the story. Maybe there's another side, but I'm not aware of that. But it was a tough time for Marcia and me to navigate through that. Well, you know what school is like. Sides are drawn pretty quickly in school. Somebody offends somebody else, and you've got people taking sides, bitter attitude. Years ago, I played soccer and in high school. I also played the sousaphone in the marching band, and one year, I think it was probably my sophomore year, I got cut from the soccer team at the request, kind of, at least what I heard, at the request of the band teacher, because he wanted me to play the sousaphone in marching band, and it would have been difficult to do both, to be playing sports and marching band. That didn't go over real well with me. A few of my friends knew about it and kind of picked up a bad attitude toward the band teacher. I'm sure we could have all gone on strike and kind of put the kibosh on that, but that wouldn't have been good. Looking back, it probably saved my life to be cut from the soccer team that year because I had whooping cough. Didn't realize it at the time, but I could barely take three steps without coughing, and very easily could have died on the soccer field, as you could understand that. But I didn't see that at the time. My anger toward the band teacher was right up there. I and some of my friends took offense or picked up the offense for me. But you've got situations in school where things are unjust, or maybe at work, and family feud, that's not just the game, is it? How many families have sides drawn and you kind of know your territory because of something that somebody said and people backing up in the family? And you know what relationships are like. It's difficult, isn't it? If somebody asks you to be involved, and this is not going to come as directly as this, they're not going to say, would you pick up an offense for me? But you've been invited to pity parties, haven't you? Don't do it. If you've been hurt, don't expand the pity party. Don't enlist allies to justify your bad attitude. Don't enlist allies to put pressure on the offender. Just don't do that. You know, you need to go to somebody that can help you and make peace and give you the mental framework, the emotional framework to get through the problem, not to dive down farther into the emotional quicksand, the spiritual quicksand. You know, instead of taking up an offense, back to the idea of friendship. What's a real friend? A friend loves at all times. A friend needs to tell the truth and love, be supportive, encouraging, sometimes get some help. You know, if you love me, if you're my friend, if you're my spouse, you'll take my side. Wait a minute. No, that's not the way it works. If I'm your friend, if I'm your spouse, if I love you, I want to tell you the truth and love. Do you want me to just rubber stamp the sinful behavior or attitude, or help you learn to live by God's grace principles? And if possible, get the problem straightened out. And granted, it's not always possible. Just because we're involved in peacemaking doesn't mean that we always are successful in getting things taken care of. Sometimes we can't. Romans 12 says, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. Your side of the equation, don't burn bridges. Be at peace if you can. But it's tough, though, to have that nailed down. It's not always possible. It's not always possible with unbelievers, and sometimes it's not even possible with believers. But we can be in a position to be encouraging, to love in the right ways, and that's to try to maintain some objectivity and neutrality at the same time being supportive and encouraging and getting help. I like this. Holding a grudge is like letting someone live rent-free in your head. How much more holding a grudge against somebody else, picking up an offense? That's like inviting all the neighbors in. Right? How foolish. Aren't you glad God's word's practical? Here's a very practical lesson for us today. Be very careful about picking up offenses for people and getting angrily involved in an angry situation. Don't carry grudges on behalf of other people. It's not worth it. That's what God's saying to us today. You have any decisions to make? You need to offload some baggage? God says, just offload it. Get rid of it. Say, God, I've been involved in some stuff that I really shouldn't be involved in. I'm just going to offload that to you today. And I'm going to do as the song said, the chains fell off. I'm free. I don't have to keep this grudge. I'm going to work on relationships, I'm going to tell the truth in love. I'm not going to allow people to live rent-free in my head. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. I pray that you would just strengthen the impact in our lives by your Spirit. Thank you for the grace principles of life that Jesus died to save us from sin, including picking up offenses for other people. And I pray that you would help us to offload the baggage today. Father, maybe there are offenses that were done directly against us that we need to forgive, let alone the other ones that we've picked up on behalf of other people. Father, we ask that as a congregation that we'd be encouraging, that we would be able to tell the truth in love. Father, we pray that you would also use us to be peacemakers and those that would be able to get involved in the right ways at the right times. So, Lord, we thank you for what you'll do for us and in us and through us in Jesus' name. Amen.